Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 12, verses 13 to 19. John chapter 12, verses 13 to 19. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, we'll be studying the triumphal entry. The triumphal entry. And so we're going to spend a great deal of time in this particular message going back and forth between or among the four Gospels, because John just deals with a piece of this. And then Matthew, Mark, and Luke fill in details that John doesn't have, but these are interesting details that are worthy of note. So we'll study these out in their parallel passages, the triumphal entry, John chapter 12, verse 13. John chapter 12, verse 13, let's read. Or actually, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Now, in this particular passage, we are dealing with about halfway through the events that take place in the triumphal entry. In John chapter 12, verse 12, when he talks about on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem and so forth, that's halfway down the events that take place. There are other things going on before his arrival that we want to look at and we want to study from the parallel passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, you're going to find the parallel passages in Matthew chapter 21, Mark chapter 11, and Luke chapter 19. Matthew 21, Mark chapter 11, and Luke chapter 19. And then you'll be able to kind of study out and see everything that's taking place here. First of all, what we want to notice about this particular passage, comparing Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is this. And also then studying out John, is this. John says this thing takes place on the next day. Well, the next day, if you'll remember our study from last week, is Friday. This triumphal entry, according to the day of the crucifixion and the day of his arrival in Bethany and the day of his resurrection, this puts the triumphal entry on Friday. Now, I think it was Wednesday, maybe, or Thursday last week. I don't remember which day it was. We had a very complete study showing you all of the days leading up to and the days following the crucifixion. So we covered from John chapter 12, where it says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. We started there and ran it all the way until the resurrection, and we located several things. We located the crucifixion on Wednesday, not on Friday. There's no such thing as Good Friday. We located from the Bible, not from tradition, the triumphal entry on the day, Friday, during the daytime, and the cleansing of the temple on the Sabbath day, and that's why Jesus was flipping over money changers' tables and running out them that bought and sold doves and that carried vessels through the temple on that day, because they were breaking and violating the Sabbath. It may be a curiosity to you, but the Pharisees never accused Jesus Christ of breaking the Sabbath when they held his trial before sending him over to Pilate. The false witnesses dealt with other matters, and the reason is they'd been caught red-handed violating the Sabbath right before the crucifixion. Now, if you're interested in obtaining a copy of a little chart that we worked up, it's just one page. It's very simple. It's graphically showing you the days leading up to the crucifixion, the day of the crucifixion, and then the days following the crucifixion on up to the resurrection. If you'd like to have that little chart, it's just a table, one page, we'd be glad to send it to you. All you have to do is just call us after the broadcast. The telephone number is area code 361-241-6100. You might give you a second to write this down. Area code 361. All right, and then the office number is 241-6100. 361-241-6100. And we'll gladly send you that little chart. No charge. Just call us and we'll send it to you in the mail. It's just something we want you to be able to have, because tradition has taught you over and over that there is a Good Friday and a triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. And neither of those days is right. Those are errors of tradition. Those are not Scripture. And this little study will help clear up a lot of other problems that come from trying to reconcile those dates. So call us, area code 361-241-6100. That's Bible Believers Baptist Church. This is Pastor Welder. Just call us and say, we want that little table, that one-page deal, and we'll be glad to send it to you this afternoon. All right. Now, so he's making the triumphal entry on Friday, which is called the next day in John chapter 12, verse 12. Now, watch what happens. We go back to Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, and here's the beginning of the events. When they drew nigh to Jerusalem, they were come to Bethphage, under the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples. In Mark, we find out in chapter 11, verse 1, that he's not only close to Bethphage, he's also close to Bethany, because that's where he's been spending the night, and he comes to the Mount of Olives, and he sends forth his two disciples. Luke confirms that, gives us the same information in Luke chapter 19, verse 29. Matthew 21, 1, Mark 11, 1, and Luke chapter 19, verse 29. The very first thing that happens is they come near to Bethphage, and at the Mount of Olives, and then Jesus sends forth two disciples. And he says to them in Matthew 21, 2, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find two things. Number one, an ass tied, and number two, a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Now, Mark and Luke don't include the information concerning the ass. Mark and Luke only give you the information concerning the colt. So they go over unto the village that's against them, or before them, that's right there. And they find this ass and this colt tied as soon as they enter into the city. As soon as you're entered into the city, Mark chapter 11, verse 2 says. And they find this colt, and the information that we know about this colt is, he says, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him, or as Luke says, bring him hither. So they find the colt right there at the entering in of the village. He's there with an ass, and nobody has ever ridden that colt before. It's never been broke. All right, the next thing we find out concerning this triumphal entry then is in Matthew 21:3. And this is what we find out. If any man say aught unto you, doesn't make any difference what they say, if they talk to you about this, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So the two disciples don't just bring the colt, they bring the ass and the colt. Mark 11:3 says the same thing, except it says, if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Not just if they say anything to you, but if why do ye this? Luke says, why do you loose him? Then tell them, the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. They'll let you do it. And that's a pretty remarkable thing. Jesus Christ manifested his deity there. He knew exactly what they would find when they entered into the city, and they knew exactly what the reaction would be when they entered into the city. All right, now, the next thing we find out, we're going to skip a couple of verses in Matthew 21. We're going to skip verse 4 and 5 for just a minute because we want to line it up with the stuff that's in John. And in Matthew 21:6, we find the next piece of information. The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Now, that's a wonderful thing about disciples. Disciples are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, according to Acts chapter 11. But one of the characteristics of disciples is they do what they're told. They do what Jesus commands them to do. All right, so they did that. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 4, they did as they were commanded to do. They went their way, found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. Luke says, they found even as Jesus had said unto them. Well, when they got there, the colt was tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. You know, I heard a preacher preach a sermon on this text one time out of Mark. A very interesting thing. He said they found the colt tied by the door. Well, remember from John chapter 10 that Jesus Christ is the door. And he's in a place where two ways met. You're either going to go God's way or you're going to go your own way. You're going to go the straight and narrow way or you're going to go the broad way. And since this colt is a colt that had never been broken, no man had ever sat on that colt, then that colt is like an unsaved man. And when he is brought before the Lord Jesus Christ or tied by the door, like a man sitting under the preaching of the gospel in a church when he's lost, then he's got two ways. He's at the parting of the ways. And at that point, he can deny himself and take up Jesus Christ, or he can go his own way and forget Jesus Christ. But in either case, if he takes Jesus Christ is going to ride him, and he's going to tame that untamed, unbroken colt. So it's going to be a little bit of a rough ride right at first, and then that person's going to come around and submit himself to the leadership and yield himself to the working of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. It's a great sermon, great sermon. So that's where they find that colt tied. All right, now the next thing that happens then, Mark chapter 11, verse 5 tells us that certain of them that stood there said unto them, "What do ye, loosing the colt?" It's just exactly what Jesus Christ said would happen. He warned them what to say to these people because he knew exactly what was going to happen. Certain of them that stood there said unto them, "What do ye, loosing the colt?" Well, Luke chapter 19 adds this and tells us who it is that asked that question. Luke chapter 19, verse 23 says, or verse 33 says, "As they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, 'Why loose ye the colt?'" Well, I'm sure they did. You know, what are you doing? Now, it's an interesting thing how the Lord had already prepared the way because, I mean, basically these guys are going up there and stealing these animals, except they're doing it at the command of the Lord. So the owners are obviously very curious about what they're doing. Well, Luke 19:34 shows the response that the disciples were supposed to give. They said, "The Lord hath need of him." As Mark chapter 11, verse 6 says, "They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and then they let them go." That's an interesting thing. It's like Jesus had said so many times before. He said, like, for instance, when they asked, "Where shall we prepare the Passover that we may eat it with thee?" He said, "You're going to go into town, and when you do, you're going to find a man there carrying a pitcher, and you're going to go up here and ask him, where can we have the Passover?" And then he's going to take you to an upper room, and you're going to find it's already prepared. An amazing thing how the Lord takes care of all those details. You know what that shows us? That shows us that when the Lord Jesus Christ gives you direction to go somewhere or do something, he is also going to prepare the way even before you get there for all of the details to be taken care of. It's an amazing thing, but people are prone to worry themselves silly today. And if the Lord gives you direction to go somewhere, then he is going to give you the grace to back up the command, and you can be sure the provisions are made. Now, you know that Paul had to know that when he was told by a vision of God to go into Macedonia. He did, and he got into Philippi, and the next thing you know, he's beaten and thrown into jail. Well, if he didn't have confidence that God had made provision for him and Silas already, he and old Silas could not have sung a hymn and prayed at midnight with confidence that God was going to take care of everything. And as they prayed and as they sang hymns, there was a great earthquake, and all the prisoners were basically broken free. And they didn't even leave, because Paul was so convinced that God had taken care of everything. The prison guard came in, and he was prepared to kill himself because he was sure the prisoners had run, and therefore it would be his responsibility. And he goes in there prepared to kill himself, and Paul says, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." The guy marvels. He says, "Man," he said, "I want what you've got." The guy gets saved, his whole household gets saved, and the gospel is spread into Philippi. The magistrates give authority for Paul to leave. Paul says, "You beat us publicly. We're uncondemned Romans. You're going to come down here and you're going to let us out yourselves." And that opens the way for the gospel to be boldly preached in Philippi. And you know that it resulted in a great church there because Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians. And you see the things that those guys had done. It's a very spiritual letter. All of that came as a result of God making preparation. You wouldn't have guessed that a beating and an imprisonment were the preparations that God had made, but in fact, those are exactly the things that God wanted. And so, don't complain when you see the circumstances changing out. If God gives direction, He is also going to make preparation for that direction, just like He did in telling these disciples, "Don't worry about it. You're going to find the colt there, and if anybody asks you why you're doing this, you just tell them the Lord hath need of him." And that's what they said, and the owners, according to Mark chapter 11, verse 6, let them go. That's an amazing thing. All right, now let's go back to Matthew and pick it up from there. Matthew chapter 21, verse 7. They brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. Well, Mark and Luke only tell you that they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Or as Luke says, they set Jesus thereon. So Luke and Mark only tell you about the colt. John only tells you about the colt. In John chapter 12, verse 14, the Bible says, John chapter 12, verse 14, our text that we're studying today, Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. Only Matthew tells you the other detail, that actually they brought the ass and the colt and put their garments on both of them. Now, why is that significant? Well, it's significant because John tells you in John chapter 12, verse 15, that this fulfills something that was written. He says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting upon on an ass's colt." All right? Matthew tells you that it fulfills something that was spoken by the prophet. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 4, this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, wait a minute. Do we have a contradiction here? John only tells you about him sitting upon the young ass. Luke only tells you about him sitting upon the ass. Mark only tells you about him sitting upon the ass. But Matthew tells you about sitting on the ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. Well, is it a contradiction or what is it? Let's go back to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and we'll find out the answer to that question. As we've told you so many times before, the Bible is the best commentary on itself. Somebody might be inclined to run to the Hebrew right now. Somebody might be inclined to run to the Greek right now. Somebody might be inclined to run to what they call the Septuagint right now. Somebody might be inclined to run to Matthew Henry's commentary, or Bullinger's Companion Bible, or Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, or all the other commentaries that are out there to find out what it was, in fact, that God said. Well, the best thing to do is go back to the prophecy in Zechariah, see what was prophesied, and then you'll know the answer to the question whether or not you have a contradiction or whether you have supplemental accounts. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation, lowly," watch it, "and riding upon an ass and upon a colt the foal of an ass. Ah, so the prophecy, according to Zechariah, was that he would ride on both of them. He would ride on the ass, and he would ride upon a colt the foal of an ass. And he would be lowly, Matthew says meek, and also Zechariah tells you that he would be just and having salvation, both of which are absolutely true. So the explanation then from going back to Zechariah, which John tells us we needed to do, because he says it fulfills something that was written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." We go back to Zechariah and find out that in fact he did sit on the ass's colt, like Mark said, like Luke said, and like John said, but in addition to that, he also rode the ass. So what's the deal? The deal is that as soon as they first started to ride, coming down the Mount of Olives, Jesus started out the ride on the ass. And then, when he met the people, or shortly before he met the people, he then got on the colt and came in the rest of the way. All right, for instance, look in Matthew chapter 21 at verse 8. Matthew 21 and look at verse 8. "A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strode them in the way." Matthew doesn't tell you what kind of trees they were. Mark 11:8 says, "Many spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches off the trees and strode them in the way." Luke says, "They went and spread their clothes in the way." Doesn't tell you anything about the branches. So Luke tells you the least amount about it. He says they put their garments in the way, or their clothes in the way. Matthew and Mark add that they cut down branches off the trees and put them in the way. And John tells you in John chapter 12, verse 13, at the beginning of the text that we're studying today, that those branches were branches of palm trees, and that's where the people got the idea of Palm Sunday. In fact, though, they made a mistake. It is Palm something, but it would be Palm Friday. And Good Wednesday, not Good Friday and Palm Sunday. As I told you, we've got this little graph here, or chart here, that we made. We've given you all the verses, and it would be very easy for you to see that tradition is wrong and the Bible is right. But you knew that anyway, amen? So they cut branches off the palm trees and went forth to meet him. All right, then the next thing we find is contained for us in Luke's Gospel, Luke 19, verse 37. "When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." Now, the people that got them to come over there and begin praising the Lord for the mighty works that they had seen are the people who had witnessed Lazarus being raised up out of the grave. Look at John chapter 12, verse 17 in our text. "The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him up from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle." So, when the people spoke about Lazarus's resurrecting from the dead, those that bear record and those that heard about the miracle are the ones that gathered at the descent of the Mount of Olives and began to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Okay, and then we go over here to Matthew's Gospel and pick it up from there, Matthew 21:9. "And the multitudes that went before and that followed," so you have people out in front of him, you have people out behind him, "cried, and they said something." Now, you got to put it all together from John and from Matthew and from Mark and from Luke, because they all tell you a little something different about what they said. Matthew says, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." John, the text that we're studying in John chapter 12, verse 13, the second half of the verse says, in addition to what they said in Matthew's Gospel, "Blessed is the King of Israel." Matthew just said, "the Son of David." John says, "the King of Israel." Mark adds in Mark chapter 11, verse 9 and 10, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David." that in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And then Luke adds, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So the whole statement then is, Blessed is the King of Israel, the Son of David, the kingdom of our father David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, Hosanna in the highest, like that kind of stuff. So the Son of David, the kingdom of our father David, and the King of Israel all show the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the kingdom to the Jews. Luke chapter 1 said, It give unto him the throne of his father David, the King of Israel, just like was written on his cross. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Israel. Now, you know, when all that was said, that got the Pharisees furiously upset. Furiously upset. And indeed it did. In John chapter 12, verse 19, we find exactly what happened to him. John chapter 12, verse 19, The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is gone after him. Boy, that got him upset. The whole world is gone after him. Going over here to Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 21:10, we find that when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So when they crucified him, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Israel. See how it goes? Now, what was this? Well, when we get to the end of this whole study, we find out what John said in John chapter 12, verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. So there you have the complete story of the triumphal entry from the very beginning to the very end, and the reaction of the Pharisees. You can tell immediately this is the thing that is going to lead the Pharisees to desire to kill Jesus Christ and put an end to him once and for all.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.